the expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Ons. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Christ. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. And it makes some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Roberts, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter. Yay. With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
A podcast for Bonnaroovians by Bonnaroovians. Welcome to the What Podcast. That's Barry Corder. I'm Brad Steiner. There's the Lord of the Taco, Mr. Taco /Lord Esquire LLC. Gentlemen, how in the hell are you? I haven't seen you in forever. You guys look good. Everybody's got a new background these days. Everybody's doing new,
you guys.
New video stuff.
Nice to be back talking with you again.
Yeah.
I seriously have missed you guys. I didn't think I would. I don't know why. I don't like either of you.
Barry,
but I've missed you.
Barry, you sit there. There in bed screaming my name.
Why doesn't Brad call? Why doesn't he call?
Yeah.
I've done everything I know to do.
What's been happening with you guys? Catch up. Give me the lowdown. We haven't talked in forever.
Taco, you go first.
All right. We have started playing video games on Twitch. I have, and then got together with Daniel.
Not where I thought this was going.
No.
By the way, I love the idea of Taku saying, well, I started playing video games. You've been playing video games your whole life.
I found this new thing called video games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's kind of been an election. There's kind of been this COVID thing. There's kind of been some drama.
I've been up to.
Guys, I've discovered the moving picture box. It has pictures and they fly through the world wide web.
Found a new beer called Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Really? But has it won an award? It needs
sure
to
has.
Win. Okay, good. All right, good.
I'm going to need a minute.
Well, I guess the point is, like, I know that this is, and by the way, for you, Bonnaroovian, I know that there's been a weird lapse and everything. We love that you've stuck with us and you continue to stick with us, and hopefully there's something to talk about Bonnaroo very soon. Because today, we have a special guest. We have a kid that we tried to get on a couple of months ago that never actually came to fruition because, you know, of the Rona, and a kid that we had on our list.
Think he's playing video games?
We're
going to ask him.
Can't wait to ask him. Yeah, Briston Maroney is going to be on the program this afternoon. So I'm really excited about this kid. He was one of the guys that we found in the Bonner Roulette, and then he's stuck. Got a great voice, and hopefully he'll play a song or two. Video games for Taco. Barry Corder, what for you?
Sorry, I'm still...
Other than, I'm you know, still... you... You dog him out for video games, but you've got the world's largest and only CD collection left.
Man, look at the money! Look, that's my kid's inheritance right there. They have no idea, do they?
Like, yeah, I left you all of my CDs.
I put all your money in CDs. Yeah, I got all the Justin Bieber and Aerosmith stuff back there. Those Aerosmith CDs are going to be worth tons.
Okay. All right, Barry, what about you the last couple of months? What have you been doing?
I hesitate now after the video game thing, but we've had a major shift in our household. We've had my stepdaughter and her husband and 3.5-year-old my granddaughter move in while their house is being built. So I don't think we're unusual. Probably unusual in that most people aren't having a house built, so we're fortunate in that, and I don't make light of that at all because people are going through some horrible things. But
you continue to be the most patient man I have ever known in my life.
That's my only superpower, right? That, yeah. and being able to drag something across a concrete floor and snag it on something. Those are my two superpowers.
You're talking about a body, aren't you? You're talking about a body.
But yeah, no, they moved in this past week, and it's been a lot of fun.
Interesting. I can't believe, like, you know, when we say that Barry is sort of the dad of camp, it's because he literally does this every single day. He's the only person that could keep us all together and, you know, allow for us to survive 4, 5, 6 days, because you literally have to do it every day. Every single day.
Yeah. You just move on.
Can I move in? You deal with it. You got room for me?
Come on, baby. But
if you let me move in.
Yeah, he's got a bus.
I know you're really, really good at identifying babies.
I am.
And I have one. So I need you to.
You know what? I think Taco will be the judge of that.
I need it confirmed that she is, in fact, a baby.
We can confirm that.
So Barry's superpower is patience. Lord Taco's superpower is identifying babies. What's mine?
Ooh. Mm.
I'm so excited. What's it going to be?
Gotta go.
Talking about Brad, I'm going to go with.
It's really good. It's a really good topic.
Nobody is better at talking about Brad than you are.
It's a great point. So have you spent any time, let's put it this way, I get a better question. Barry Corder, you seem to drop a little bit of knowledge on me a couple weeks ago that I fought back on. Have you gotten anywhere or found anything out about a lineup release date?
I have heard rumors that they're going to announce it. Do I know anything more specifically than you? Because I know when I reached out to you, you reached out to your people. My guess is that the industry, let's just put it in the big umbrella, is going to proceed as if things are going to happen. Now that was, when did I ask you that? 6 weeks ago? That was before Thanksgiving. That was before the blow up. That was before the election or right around. So I don't know. That's a great question. Since then, our festival here in Chattanooga, it's not happening. Not only is it not happening, the people who run it basically have blown up. I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade. I want it to happen so bad. We all do. I don't know if I told you, I ordered bandanas from Bonnaroo. They came yesterday.
Doc, are you saying what I'm saying?
I know that's terrible. I ordered
just like
a t-shirt.
Half of him just disappears anytime he tries to move. It's the strangest thing in the world.
I know, but my point is I love this festival. I want it to happen so bad. So to your question, I have no new news, but except to say nobody knows. And if anybody's trying to tell you any differently, they don't know.
Well, it's all going to depend on this vaccine, huh? It's all going to come out.
So many things.
Yeah, whenever this whole vaccine thing figures itself out, I feel like I'm still trying to convince certain people that this is still a thing and still happening. you know, that we're all still trying to not have people die on a daily basis. So, you know, trying to even go to the next step as to what happens after. We still have people who don't wear a mask. So I don't know how to wrap my head around what the next step is when we're still 8 months ago. I feel like we're still having the same arguments and conversations from 8 months ago. So how do we even, you know, project what happens in the next, you know, 6 to 8 months in front of us? But yeah, it feels like everything is dependent on the vaccine and its ability to get to the marketplace. But at the end of the day, I think that all of us feel really comfortable in saying that it's going to happen in September.
If it happens, it's going to be September. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I feel like I'm absolutely confident it's now going to happen.
Okay. Well, you have new news that I don't have.
I don't know. No. That's not news. No. It's not news. I'm going with my gut on this one that, you know, you get to July 4th weekend, and I think that things start looking a lot different for a lot of entities. Now, I don't know if that means that any sort of like a lineup is given. I mean, I just cannot imagine somebody putting out a lineup before Christmas and it getting any sort of, you know, traction. I just don't think that you can break through some of the noise that's out there. Now, maybe that's a strategy. Maybe that you put it out there because you think that, you know, it will get some attention. I don't think that it will. But whatever. What do I know?
I think that's right. I think that's right. I think they're trying to figure out how to both keep the tickets that have been sold, mm-hmm. sell tickets, and who can blame them? I mean, they're trying to stay alive. These are business people. They're trying to put food in people's mouths. That's the point.
Like a baby bird?
I think that's the point you and I have been trying to make this whole time.
I don't think I've been making the point that they're literally trying to feed me.
Not you.
Oh, okay.
But they're trying to feed that guy who drives the truck and puts the lights up. And that's the thing. It's not just the artist. And that's, it's bizarre. Not bizarre. I don't know what the word is, Brad and Russ. But, I mean, we started talking about this in March. And, I mean, I reported it as if I was smart or if it was news, that it's not just the singer that needs your money. It's the truck driver. It's the light guy. It's the, and the deeper we get into this, that's exactly what I keep talking about.
I popped into Revivalist space, their practice space last week. And I was saying, hey, by the way, you guys did great on the outdoor show that you did. I wonder how, and I was poking around. I was like, I wonder how you did on that. Did you make any money? He's like, not a chance. We have a 19-person crew. That's the Revivalists.
Yeah.
God love them. They are wonderful men and as good of friends as I could have in this city when it comes to the industry. My God, if the Revivalists have 19 people.
My friend Nathan Bell, who I think is one of the great songwriters ever, lives here in Chattanooga. He's become years ago became such a defender of Taylor Swift. He's like, she employs hundreds of people, like her, don't like her, make fun of her music, whatever, but she is a businesswoman that employs hundreds of people. And for that alone, you know, it just sort of turned my way of thinking. And that's what we're talking about, these festivals. And I don't understand. All right, so we've got the restaurant industry, we've got the football, we've got sports, whatever. I mean, music has just, entertainment has just taken a beating throughout all of this. I mean, it's just gone. And this is what we love. This is why you and Taco and I are and Briston here in a little bit. It's why we're here. We love this. And
you mentioned Taylor Swift. Just as an aside, you putting Taylor Swift in your top five albums of the year? You putting Folklore in there?
I'm gonna leave that one to you.
Why? I asked you the question.
No, I haven't.
You haven't listened to five albums, have you?
No. Okay. No,
I don't think I have their five albums this year.
If I have their from the 60s, I've gone so vinyl.
Yeah,
my, I have I, gone totally
it
vinyl.
It is so bizarre. So in the there's an industry newspaper thing that called and they're like, hey, all right, what are your top five albums of the year? And I literally put Suddenly by Billy Ocean on there because I've listened to that record more than anything else in my collection.
Yeah, mine would have been Paul McCartney's Ram, the reissue thing that I bought on vinyl for $40.
I told you forever ago, like, you know, just as a radio person, it's impossible for current bass formats to survive right now because all anybody wants is comfort food.
Yep.
And even as a person who runs, even as somebody who runs a radio station that only predominantly, I mean, 35% of our playlist is new music. But oh, my God, if I hate it, I can't imagine how the audience likes it. You know, like most of the stuff that has come out this year, I have cared less. I could not have cared less about. I didn't give a damn. Even if it was great, I didn't pay any attention to it. Right. And I don't know why that is.
Comforting. It's that comfort food. That was such a, I mean, I did a story on it and talked to you about it. And that was such a great push. You're exactly right. I mean, I'm literally listening to old vinyl that is from the 70s. And it's not that I don't like the new. It's not that I don't have the ability. You know, I mean, I have, like everybody else, probably 55. No, it's exaggeration. I have every way imaginable to listen and to listen to music. But all
do you have
I've
any CDs?
I've got a few. All I've listened to is vinyl. And it's old vinyl, obviously. So,
well, you need to pick up Billy Ocean Suddenly because it always works in whatever situation you are in. It is the, it's been my absolute favorite, work. It sucks because for somebody who is a consumption junkie, like I'm obsessed with finding everything and listening to everything. I have no appetite for it. I don't care. It's like I went into a coma and I came out with the inability to like pizza. Imagine if you woke up one day and you're just like, I don't like pizza anymore. It's really sad. It bothers me to my core. Like I can listen to something even like I love James Blake. That James Blake EP, it's good. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No. I am my thing is if once I find out that there's another way to listen to music, I'm obsessed until I have it in my house. If you tell me that there's a gadget that you got to plug into this and that and it'll play, I'm going to go get it. And then when I get it, I don't care anymore. That's my point is so it's hard to explain. You've seen my office. I have more gadgets and technology and nonsense in here. But you know what? All I'm listening to is a 1976 Pioneer SX708 or 780 amp and a 40-year-old turntable.
Well, if I have to tell you one, okay, of the five that I was supposed to put together, I'll give you two that you absolutely should listen to. I think Run the Jewels 4 is great. Unfortunately, I think that the front half of it's a lot better than the back half of it. But again, ain't that much to pick from, so it makes my top five. But the best album of the year, without a doubt, not even close. And I hate that all the other publications think this too, but you know, it is what it is. Fiona Apple, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, is as advertised. It is not even close. There's not even a close second.
I have heard that, and it is wonderful. It's great.
It's damn near perfection, and I don't know how it was totally ignored, it felt like, by the Academy. And, you know, as a voting member of the Academy, I shall say.
Well, speaking of, what about the old country music controversy? That happened since we've talked last with John Prine being ignored. And who was the other? Who was the other death that was ignored? You know what I'm talking about?
No, CMAs? I don't know. Oh, you're talking about the CMAs. I'm just going to, let's, I know you don't know me well, Barry, but
I know enough, but I thought this might have crossed your radar.
Can you see a guy like
me? Guys.
Hey, how's it going? Real quick. Brista, nice to meet you. Do I look like a guy that watches the CMAs?
Oh, man. Well, I will say, this is going to sound like a cop-out. It's kind of dark in the room that you're in.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it that way. Brad very is moody today.
He's getting darker. I mean, the sun's going down.
Yeah, that's definitely not the vibe of the CMA. The CMA is a very cheery event, for sure.
But well, more importantly, how do I look? How do I look?
He's... Do you guys watch the CMAs? Is that the truth?
No,
we were talking about the controversy with them ignoring John Prine's death. And
did nothing come up?
No, they listed all the people who died this past year, and they left John Prine and I'm not even gonna say it, but they left a couple of people out, and it became a big thing. Jason Isbell made a big stink about it, and several other people. So
good lord, man.
Yeah,
I had no idea they did that.
So
right, well, we won't get into that. But Brad, you need some light because you do.
I turned the light on. It's gonna ruin my Christmas decor.
The tree looks good.
Okay, so
the tree's great, Brad.
Well, it's the first time. I don't know about you, but and I don't do Christmas stuff very well. But it's the first time in my life I've had colored lights on the tree. It's never happened before. I feel very weird. But we moved to New Orleans. We feel like we got to get some color in our life. We got to get this some pop. So speaking of where you live, are you still in Knoxville? Do you live in Knoxville?
I am from Knoxville, born and raised, but I made the trip out to Nashville. So I'm about 2.5 hours out from,
I gotcha,
from Knox, from Dirty Knox right now.
Okay. So, I've got so many questions for you, but we'll start this whole thing, I guess, properly. First off, I'm Brad. That's Barry. That's Lord Taco, with the PBR. And I'll tell you how we found you. First off, as a Bonnaroo podcast, we talk a lot about, turns out, Bonnaroo. So each and every year, to get ready for a bunch of artists that we've never heard of, we do a thing called Bonnaroulette. We spin the wheel, and we just land on artists, and we start playing some of their stuff on the show, and we figure, let's see if we like it.
Yeah.
Landed on Briston Maroney.
Oof.
So
big hit.
Tough break.
Big hit.
I was immediately into it. I loved it, and I just started going down the rabbit hole. And it turns out, within 15 minutes of me going down the rabbit hole, I find out we have mutual friends
being
right down the road in Knoxville. So, awesome. Then the more I learn about you is that I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but you're fairly young, and you. Well, I'll tell you why. Because I can't imagine being really good and really young and being taken seriously.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder how much of a hurdle that was. And then on top of it, in maybe not the most musically eclectic or music-forward city like Knoxville.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that, man. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Do you know how many days I spent strumming my little six string at the farmer's market, having people like literally pat me on the head? And
Barry does that to me every show.
Yeah, it's nice sometimes. A good pat goes a long way. But no, man. I mean, yeah, it definitely, I'm really thankful to have grown up around people who allowed me to take music seriously from a young age, and who encouraged me to take things seriously and henceforth took me seriously. So I'm really thankful that I was around people who allowed me to commit really hard to playing music. And Knoxville, yeah, I mean, it had its moments where I was, at the farmer's markets where things were like, it was a cutesy thing to see a kid in a beat up flannel acting like he'd like lived 100 lives when I had like left the eighth grade or something. So like over time, I just figured out how to like not take myself too seriously, and therefore I feel like people started maybe appreciating more my once people found out that I was willing to admit the things I didn't know at a young age, it was so much easier to have a conversation with people as an artist. And yeah, that was a big turning point for sure.
This is such a great a great topic, and we could do hours and hours on it because people come from everywhere, right? I mean, not everybody comes from Nashville or New York or LA. So what is it that sort of you said people patted you on your head, but what were the encouraging moments, you know, that said it doesn't matter that I'm from Knoxville or wherever, or you know, I'm good at this. What was it that, what were those moments that encouraged you?
Thanks for saying that, man. Yeah, I think, golly, I think one perk of being from Knoxville is that, you know, very few people that I looked up to were from Knoxville. You know what I mean? There were a lot of great people in that city, but a lot of my heroes were from, you know, the big three or four musical cities. So I didn't feel like I had to be from there because it was just such a blank slate. So just growing up and just thinking, you know, taking kind of the pressure off of making a name for myself coming from a place, and more so just making a name out of what I had to say, was a big thing. And that the motivation to do that came from my family, you know, from my dad, from my grandfather, both musicians. And honestly, I had a lot of great teachers. I got really lucky. I had some teachers who wanted me to never speak again, but I had a lot of teachers who were very positive people who said, like, hey, you can. I had an English teacher in high school who was really great, who basically was like, it's very evident to me that you don't want to take a lot of things seriously, but you seem to care about music and you seem to care about writing. So, like, you're allowed to take that seriously. Like, if you don't care at all about any of this other stuff, you're allowed to care about what you care about, but you just have to care about it. So, you know, those were really big moments for me.
Well, I think first off, I think the big shocker here, and this is the headline, Briston hates Peyton Manning. Nice. How dare he not have a...
And as soon as I said that, there's a lot of amazing people from Knoxville. Peyton, yeah. Manning, the Weezer guys.
You know, it's funny.
Quentin Tarantino.
So for people who are listening, Brad is lived in Chattanooga for a long time. Russ is in Ringgold. I'm in Chattanooga. So Knoxville is whatever. It's going to be that place. Every state has them. If you were from Eugene, that would sound exotic. If you were from Athens, Georgia, you know, that'd be exotic.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here talking about Knoxville like it's podunk, and it is. Yeah. But probably the people near Eugene are thinking the same thing.
Nobody,
you know what
has
I mean,
waxed poetic or written a love song to Knoxville. Nobody has done that.
Well, there is,
except for Rocky Top.
There's the famous bluegrass song called Knoxville Girl, but it's like a murder song. So I get it.
Like, but you know what I mean.
Honey,
everywhere seems.
I love when you romance me, draw me a bath, and put on the murder song of Knoxville.
That's funny.
So like, to the sorry, Barry, but real quick, back to something you said a second ago about the writing part, and I think that's the part that I was drawn into the. And again, I hate to keep bringing this about, you know, just youth and vis-a-vis where you are as a writer, but I mean, it is a Jeff Buckley thing to write beyond your years. And right beyond whatever experiences you might have. And yeah, you might be flannel shirted, you know, pat on the head at the farmer's market, but there's an ability to write something that you may not have ever lived, but yet you can still sort of, you know, put it in prose. I wonder, you know, not because, of course, you don't know how that happens, but how in the hell does that happen?
Can I just jump in? Because we were laughing as he came on with talking about Jason Isbell. I asked him the same question.
Sure.
You know, how do you write a song about something, you know, that you've never done? And the example, of course, is like a Johnny Cash. He didn't go to prison. He didn't shoot a man just to watch him die. I mean,
wait,
he never did it. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Spoiler alert. but you know what I mean? That's the beauty of the artist. So
I think you have to listen well. I think I grew up around a lot of people who had a lot of stories to tell, man. I think I grew up with people who had so many stories to tell that they didn't want me to have to live a life where I had stories like that to tell. You know what I mean? So both of my parents have had, you know, pretty remarkable lives as far as what they've overcome. And
what
so,
do they do? What do your parents do?
My folks are basically all in medicine, but my parents split and both remarried. And so my dad and stepmom are, my dad's a nurse, stepmom's a doctor. My mom is an x-ray tech, and my stepdad sells medical equipment. So
Jesus Christ. I mean, you have got the
they didn't take the tattoos well.
You got the litany line happening right now.
Oh, I know, man. They're busting their ass.
And if there's somebody that could write a COVID song, it would be the son of and the grandson of literally the entire front line.
Entire, yeah, we go down the whole list. Yeah, it's crazy.
Man, what you just said, and I think that goes probably back to some of your English teachers, being able to listen.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I tell, I'm a reporter now, 53 years. That's the one thing I tell the new reporters. Just listen. Sometimes stop talking. Don't worry about your questions. Listen and then go from there. So that's not an easy, it sounds so simple. It sounds trite, but being a good listener is really important. That's pretty interesting to hear you say that.
Wait, were we talking about me?
You're not a good listener.
What's that?
Walked right into that, man.
Yeah, I know.
Right? That's what I do.
He's a radio guy. He's a
doing
talk.
Jokes. Yeah. Gotta be jokes.
Doing jokes.
So, okay. So you get to the Bonnaroo thing. How did the Bonnaroo thing come to be? One can assume that AC Entertainment in Knoxville finds you and then basically attacks you and drags you into the farm of Manchester. How does it all work out for you? What was the feeling that you had after you found out?
It was the most mind-blowing thing because Bonnaroo was like off limits my whole life because my parents didn't want me to be the kid running around on the farm with the tie-dye t-shirt tied around my head, really stoked about Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. They didn't want me to be that guy. So once I got to be a part of Bonnaroo by way of playing it, it was like a totally different perspective that made me be like, I'm calling the shots now, mommy. Like, I'm doing it.
That was maybe the creepiest thing that's ever been said on this show. I'm calling the shots now, mommy.
I'm trusting that you guys can just clean up anything that's leaving my mouth right now.
I love it.
I'm still not really used to like getting to talk about Bonnaroo. It's still, I'm scared that my Game Boy taken away if I do this, but.
Well, I mean, it's gotta suck because it didn't happen. Yeah. And so now what happens?
My roommate and I took some really funny pictures. I just laid on the couch without my shirt on with a box of cereal, just eating straight from the box, and was like, Bonnaroo 2020. Like, what a great experience out on the farm. But hopefully, I think they're booking a lot of artists again for next year, which would be really badass. But I don't know how that's going to unfold. I really hope that we get to go back out there. Regardless, the next time that it happens, I will absolutely go, whether or not we get to play. Because that, like, just the thought of seems like it was just so exciting, just the idea of just even being there. So, like, yeah, man, I'll definitely be out there.
Have you not actually been approached about coming back yet?
I think that our management has talked to some people, and, like, they've talked to the booking stuff. I think a lot of festivals just automatically just push the lineup to next year for 21 for whatever, whatever they had this year. They just literally moved it to the same date next year. And I don't know if Bonnaroo was one of those. I can't remember.
No, they moved to September.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Yeah. It's very exciting. Yeah. So what's your year been? What have you done? I mean, how do you, there's so many artists, they're either recording, they're going back through old songs, you've got time, so what are you doing?
Yeah. Luckily, we had just wrapped up a record when when everything shut down, maybe 2 weeks before. I had flown back home from LA with a finished record, which was really exciting. So I've been just like so lucky, man, to be able to have that record done, spend the rest of this year, basically just like building the world around the however many songs, you know what I mean? So we've like busted our ass with visual stuff. My best friend directs all our music videos. So we spent so much of this time shooting videos. The label, no idea why they did this, trusted us to do a video for every song. So we've been like pretty full plate with like, you know, a ton of videos. So that's been a really big part of it. And I love to act and I love to like be a part of visual stuff as well. So like, I've been really invested in that. But like, aside from that, man, I've done so many boring, painfully boring things that I have loved. So like a
Bonnaroo podcast.
With dudes you've never met.
You guys, make me feel funny. That's why I like it here. This is good.
Brad makes me feel funny. He always has.
Always have. but okay, I understand. You got an album on your hands, and you might have some visuals, but you know it's also got to come along with a, you know, external world around it. Yep. And that external world doesn't exist anymore. So it's got, for a guy like you who's, you know, trying to make their mark, trying to acquire, you know, a new fan, another set of fans every time you go through a city, how does that sort of, you know, blunt the momentum that you were trying to build?
I mean, it throws a freaking wrench in it. Like, as far as meeting people in a city, having the experiences that, like, you have at a show, which are arguably the most formative experiences you can have with music, like for that no longer to be an option sucks. Like that, and especially for us, man, like I value our live show so much, and like, because that's just what got me to fall in love with music and why I started becoming a massive fan of bands was I just loved going to shows. And so this year, like, I am so bad with technology. Social media sucks the life out of my body, and I like I've had to kind of bite the bullet this year and figure out ways to like engage with people that way and still feel genuine doing that. And so like, honestly, this year, man, I've like, I mean, it's been tough too, just with what social media has needed to be in a year like this. There's been a lot of need for really purposeful, intentional conversation. But as you know, things have started to improve a little bit in certain aspects, and people are just communicating in new ways by the end of 2020. I've kind of let social media be a really open thing for me as far as like being silly, interacting with people the same way that I would interact with my friends at a show. I like, you know, responding to people's messages really just like personally and just like trying to have a good time with that stuff, man. So I you know, and not being afraid to say like, this sucks. I would so much rather hang with you guys at a show. I would so much rather talk to you guys in person. You know what I mean? Like just being willing to be pretty transparent on how I feel, yeah, about how much it's gonna do that.
This is an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it from your perspective. Do you feel like you come out of this, I mean, yelling, screaming? I mean, is your first show going to be this ginormous thing, or is it going to be just pared down in acoustic set? You know what I mean? I think we're all trying to figure out how we come out of this. And, yep. Part of it feels like, you know, we're going to have this giant or this huge Bonnaroo with 400,000.
I really, really want you to keep saying the word giant.
I know. I'm really trying to think of all the old timey things I can think of that just make your hair crawl.
But is it going to be a barn burner when you get going there?
Yeah, wing-ding. We're going to have a wing-ding.
you're going to go down to the Blockbuster and get a two bits.
Would it qualify as a hoot nanny?
A hoot nanny, yeah.
We've had a few hoot nannies.
That's what I'm wondering. Seriously, do we come out with this big thing, or does it feel like we just sort of inch our way out of it, or do you even have a sense?
Oh, we're sock hopping it, man. We're going
wild. I love it. I love a sock hop.
That up, baby.
Love a sock hop.
Dang. I didn't think of that one.
The second that we get the green light to have the Woodstocky moment where it's just some outdoor show going wild with as many people as we can safely get somewhere. I want it to be that. I I've said since the beginning that I've of this, the lockdowns and shutdowns that I've really, I'm just highly anticipating what it will look like as far as live music meaning new things to people once it's an option. We just announced some dates opening for Rainbow Kid and Surprise, scheduled for May of 21. Socially distanced outdoor show. They're doing like the pod thing.
Where?
In Pelham, Tennessee. It's this venue called the Caverns.
That's right. You're on that. That's a great new venue, man. It's cool. Yeah.
It's insane.
I don't know if you, Brad. That's the cave.
Yeah, I know.
They clear it outside, and they're gonna do stuff outside. So that's cool.
How many dates are you doing with the RKS?
It was two originally, May 7th and 8th, and they just an hour ago added a third one because I guess they sold out. So
that's great. That's a good. That's a good look. Yeah,
those are good people up there. That's great.
Yeah. It's. I'm glad we're getting to come back in Tennessee too, in Pelham, Tennessee, of all places. Just some talk about.
Yeah, for you guys listening, that's about 20 minutes from Manchester.
Yeah.
So, I think I would be really remiss as a Bonnaroo podcast and as someone who lives and operates in Nashville like you do now, to not mention what COVID has done to somebody near and dear to at least the industry's heart and mine, and ours is the Bonnaroo community and Lightning 100.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what's been going on with Lightning 100 up there, Briston, but they are independently owned radio station. They are the radio station that operates Bonnaroo Radio. Mm-hmm. They operate the entire media compound back in the back when it comes to how radio stations around the country cover the event. They have been there since the very first minute. I think that Reverend Keith was the Rev was the first guy to walk onto the festival grounds 16 years ago or so.
Wow.
So they're in a really big pinch right now. So they basically have turned over their social media, their website, their station over to saving the airwaves. They're going to shut their doors. They're going to be done. They're going to be goner. They're a goner if they can't raise somewhere upwards of $250,000. And so they're trying to come up with creative ways to come up with that kind of money. So, you know, if you do have the ability, if you do have the option, sign on to their website, give them your time, give them maybe a couple of your dollars, because they are invaluable. I can't explain to you how important Lightning 100 is to not just Bonnaroo, but to Nashville musicians. There was a long time there that, I mean, maybe a decade, two decades, where the only place that local musicians in the region were getting played was Lightning 100. And I don't know if they reached out to, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with them, but, you know, if it wasn't for them, a lot of the people that you love at Bonnaroo wouldn't exist. They just, they wouldn't exist. Mm.
Damn. Yeah. Like heartbreaking, man. Truly. Yeah. Truly like makes me want to cry. Those people have done so much for me, so much for all of my friends, so much for Nashville. Like I met my best friends at Live on the Green, which is the Lightning concert event. That was my first experience in Nashville. I mean, I've shared so many experiences with people I love through Lightning 100. I remember calling my dad the first time they started spinning one of the songs. It was like, it is a huge deal.
What was the song, by the way? Was it Freaking Out on the Expressway? Which one was it?
It was actually, it predated Expressway. It was the song called I've Been Waiting, which is just a bad song, but they were still have my back. That's
you didn't
why
say they were a good radio station. They were just... important.
Man, that's the thing. You know what? When Brad, I know, is a music history guy, and so am I. When you hear Paul McCartney talk about hearing their song on the radio for the first time, and Brian Wilson pulling over on the road to hear their song on the radio for the first time.
God,
that just gives me chills thinking about it.
It is so awesome.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. That's what it's about, right? That's it. That I think, and looking out into a crowd and them singing your lyrics back, excuse me, their lyrics back to you, that would have to be the two of the greatest moments ever for an artist. I can't think of anything better than that.
That's everything, man. I mean, yeah, you nailed it. You summed it up. And then you spend the rest of every time
trying to get it again.
Yeah.
Just like a woman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Never the
Briston, so it wasn't a good song. What year was this?
This was 2018, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe right after I'd signed my first record deal.
And you didn't like the song?
Oh, I don't know. At the time, I probably liked it too much. I was probably a little too proud of it. But looking back on it, it's like on paper, they took a chance on a little like disorganized, curly headed kid
who
had an opportunity to record a song.
I've asked this question before, and every person I've asked it laughs me out of the room. But I will find the artist that will take this as an idea. I really love the idea of like you looking back 10 years ago, if you're, you get 40 at one point and you look back 20 years and you see the songs that you wrote and you're like, how about if I rewrite these one more time? I want to give this one more pass and see if I can make this something, and nobody will take me up on this idea. Nobody will take this idea.
I'm all about it. Yeah. I hold on to that stuff way too tight. I'm like constantly, I guess this is weird. I don't say this out loud often, but I constantly listen back to old recordings and old songs. And like, cause I have found so many times, man, those are the ones that like the ideas that were good enough to write down usually may not have made sense at the time because they were good enough ideas that you needed to learn more before you could put them where they needed to be, you know? So like, yeah, dude, I go through.
Yeah, I agree. Even as a stand-up comic, I mean, I wrote up earlier today, poop, poop, pee, pee, poo. And at some point, that's going to
give it 5 years.
Be really good one day.
Sure. Yeah. Here's the difference. Sometimes you have to have been talented at 20.
Oh, damn it.
That's where you're missing the beat.
That 19 years ago.
No, it is funny because you've mentioned this before, Brad, and I'm different. I ask people this all the time. They all go back and look at stuff, and the good ones, and that's the difference. They were good at 20. Now they're looking at it as a 40-year-old. They've had children. They've been married. They're older. It's still good. It's just filtered through a different light. Mm-hmm. So you're not, I don't want to say you're wrong. It's just a different.
No, you want to say that I'm wrong. Let's be honest.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's the old the poet. I think it was Keats who said, I used to write poems. I would stick them in a drawer, and then I would come back a year later and wonder who the fuck had been messing with my poems.
I can't believe
I pulled Keats
Barry
out.
Just dropped.
I did.
Hey.
I did.
Come on now.
All right.
Any Walt Whitman quotes, Barry? Any?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll have to look that up real quick. anyway, Briston, I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us and shaving the beard.
Oh yeah.
And
2 weeks to get off before I got here. It was a very thick.
I bet. No, we're big fans and we really did really fall in love with your work and hopefully one day we'll see you actually perform it soon and yeah, thanks for being a part of the Bonnaroo experience here, even in the weirdest of weird times, man.
Really. Thanks for having me, man. This was if this is the closest I get to the farm this year, I'll take it.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, you were our first that we both said that's who I want to have on the show. So
yeah,
thank you so much for doing it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Not saying that because you're here.
No, I really appreciate it, man. Means a lot.
All right, here you go. Briston Moroney on the What Podcast with Barry Corder, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner. I like that kid. And I could tell before I met him and talking to him that he wasn't like an egotistical 20 something. And I'm just glad that, you know, I was sort of right, you know, because the only thing that I hate is when I, you know, meet somebody I like, I'm like, oh God. Oh no. No,
got a few of those. We've been lucky.
Well, yeah.
We've been lucky. We had three or four that I'm the one comes to mind that we
Bozzy,
we won't talk about ever again. but for the most part, they've been pretty great.
Same
right?
label. We can't. He was great.
Great.
He's dead. Dead to me. Dead.
Love
to
him.
Me.
He's the best. Can't wait for the next hit of yours, Bozzy.
Dead to me. But we've been lucky. Most part, they're just people, and they're. I mean, for him to come on and do that with us was terrific. I love it.
Well, what about what I did? You didn't talk about me coming on here and doing anything.
I think the best thing you did was finally turn that dang light on so that we could see your face. That
That's
was big.
First time
that was huge.
You
that
finally
huge.
Spoken the truth. You that finally spoke. You wanted to see my face.
I wanted to see that punim.
Yeah. We were starting to look like EOB.
Whoa.
The big windows behind him. And
you guys don't understand. I have turned into a English rock star.
That's what it is. All
that's
right.
What I'm going for from now on.
Okay.
By the way, Taco, the whole setup is nice. I've never seen the inside of your house. It's always been the bus.
Look at that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look
this
at
was,
he's got his little what is it? Nintendo, the Game Boy there. Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. Vintage. Mm-hmm.
I love you're in the festive spirit. You've got your you got the whole house decorated, it looks like.
Yeah, we got lights.
Look at the lights.
Old-fashioned typewriter and lights. We got lights.
I mean, you with the analog clock, the typewriter, the rotary phone, and the Game Boy, you have got Barry Corder an erection. I mean, he is ready.
Analog?
All for you, Barry.
Analog?
What is a glog?
That's what you said. Analog.
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 You said analog.
And I do say that weird, don't I? Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring it up is because you sure would have brought it up. It had been me saying it. So.
Pounce on every possible.
Exactly. Golly gee whiz.
Barry, that's what you do. You do just old-timey sayings.
I know, because I have such a potty mouth normally that I don't want to. That's not what I want to be known for is my potty mouth.
You'd rather be known for the guy from the 40s.
Yeah, I'd rather work
Cleaver. The gee whiz guy.
The gee whiz. Gosh darn it.
What was the episode that we, what was it? The hoot nanny?
Hootenanny.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the hooping and the hollering.
The hooping and the hollering. Yes, Barry would rather be the hooping and the hollering guy. Yeah.
I did have to look that up. I thought it was Slim Pickens in, what was the Peter Sellers movie? Dr. Strangelove. They were, Blazing Saddles. Remember, he said we can come in a hooping and a hollering. Okay. But that's not what he said. So.
Thanks, Dad. All right. Guys, anything else? Anything else? I think it was a good catch up. You know, good catch up.
It was. If we got a few minutes, I can tell you about the Rue Gaming that we've been doing.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Oh God. Yes. Sorry, because we went around the room talking about the things that we've been doing, and we just stopped talking about that for some odd reason. I think that was probably
for some reason
my fault.
Please tell,
guys. What have you been doing this whole break?
Please do tell.
Well, I've been playing games on Twitch, which lets
you've
you stream
been getting into video games.
I've been getting into video games. Wow. Really, I really think there's something here with these video games. Okay. I think it's going to take off.
Jeepers, Wally.
So I started doing that. Was talking to Daniel with the Rubus. He just got a PS5, and he says there's a charity called Extra Life. They raise money, or they donate money to children's hospitals. And you can raise money by playing video games on Twitch by just asking for donations. So we decided to like put a little crew together of some Bonnaroo gamers, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we've got me, Daniel, Parker, and mm-hmm. Jake from the Rooham. And then we also added Ben, who used to work for AC Entertainment. He did their social media stuff. He's now playing games. So
okay.
What
are the games?
Well, it's kind of whatever we want. He got the PS5, so he's been playing like Spider-Man and some new games.
Oh, so it doesn't matter because I'm just watching it on Twitch.
Yeah, you're just watching.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to figure out maybe a way where we could all play a game together or something, because there's a lot of fun online games you can do that with.
Yeah.
But we set a goal initially of $250 that we thought maybe we could raise and donate that. And we like shot through that, you know, within the day or so.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're up to about $320, I think. And we're just going to keep it going for the rest of the year.
See, well, what days do you do it?
I've been doing it every other day or so. Daniel's done it, you know, it's pretty much just whenever we have time.
Oh,
but
so
we
it's
are
not like a set night that it's like, you know, it's Bonnaroo game night.
No, but we are talking about putting together, maybe doing like a 12-hour block where we all kind of play, you know, continuously one day.
That's really good. 24 hours of nonstop gaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
obviously, Brad and I, this is not us, and I feel somewhat bad making fun of you earlier, but I mean, this is a great thing. How can people help? So if somebody wants to contribute, how can they do it?
I'll put a link down in the description, and we'll tweet it out and stuff. That's there's a link you can just go donate. You can tune in when one of us is watching, or one of us is playing. You can watch. You can donate money while we're playing. We started like a Twitter account called Rue Gaming Crew, where you can keep up and see when we're playing, what we're playing. And we wanted to open it up to anybody. If you go to Bonnaroo, if you play games, if you stream them or not, if you want to join us, you can certainly hit us up and we'll add you into the fold.
Barry, I've very often times just been sitting there and I'll notice that Taco will go, just say like go live. I don't, it must be on Instagram or Twitter or something. It'll say Lord Taco is now live on Twitch. And I pop on and I love watching Taco play video games, to be honest with you. And I never understood why, but he always plays all the games that I was terrible at when I was a kid. So it's like all these Nintendo games. Like, what were you playing the other day that I was so obsessed with? Mega Man.
I was playing some Mega Man.
I can never get past that first screen of Mega Man. I don't care if I was 6 or 36. I still can't figure it out. But
well, it's not even easier for me. I'm still bad at it.
Yeah. It's so hard. But my favorite part is that you know, they talk like Taco will talk a little bit here and there, and he'll like give you a play by play here and there. But because we know him so well, you can hear the PBRs open just nonstop.
The soundtracks of our lives.
I mean, I might be in there for 20 minutes, and I've heard three times.
Yeah, I put the PBR cam on there. I've got a dedicated cam just on the PBR.
So, and then the occasional about every 10, 15 minutes where he just disappears for
it's in pause. You show up and it's just on pause because he's got to pay. I love this idea, but the thing that I never understood is like when I'm watching it, am I watching like a camera on your TV, or have you plugged your TV into your computer or something? Like, how is it? How am I watching the video game? I hate to be dumb about this, but I have no idea.
It's fine. It's going through a capture device that takes the video signal and displays it on the screen through the computer.
So it's plugged into your TV's plugged into computer.
Yeah. Now I think Daniel, the PS5 is so new, it's got it built in to where it can go ahead and stream just from the PS5. There's no extra computer needed. So it's taken me a few months, and part of it was I've got all this gear from podcasting, microphones, lights, cameras. I could set up a video game stream, and so that's been I've slowly been like figuring out how to do it, how to set it up.
Okay.
And been a lot of fun. So that's been my kind of quarantine project.
I love how you just keep it with old school video games, though. You know, right. I like the new video games. I have no interest in watching that World Same. Of Warcraft or whatever that garbage. I do not care. It's just too much gobbledygook.
That, too much gobbledygook.
Too gobbledygook. Too much malarkey on the screen for me to.
Too much malarkey.
I can't keep up with all the nonsense that's on the screen. There's just I hate it. But boy, I'll sit there and watch anybody play, Super Mario Brothers.
Well,
I'm all in.
The thing is, I've had this collection of like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, old vintage video games systems and games and stuff. I was like, why not dig it out and hook it up and get it to work? And while I'm doing it, I might as well, play where other people can watch.
You should be doing like with the guys like Mike Tyson Punch Out.
I like Mike Tyson Punch Out.
Yeah, like you should be playing like other people in it, and then like you trash talk a little bit.
We can do some trash talking.
Okay.
You can tell I trash talk a lot, right?
Oh man, you can't stop. Yeah. the sound of victory. That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm sorry we interrupted that earlier.
Good stuff. And I'm glad you brought it back up. Good for you. You and Daniel are doing good things. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Barry, you're not doing anything good. Look at you.
Nothing.
Doing nothing. Doing
I'm
nothing
helping
good.
Nobody. I'm not improving the universe one bit.
Just sitting over here looking orange. I don't know what I'm
just
doing.
Looking just orange. Looking orange. Yep. Yeah. I am looking
all right.
orange.
All right. Well, missing you guys. Anything else? Anything else before we go?
Let's do this again.
All right. I guess we can. I guess Let's we can make this in. A regular thing. Sure.
Yeah, we should. Thanks, right. everybody, for listening. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, I do think that there needs to be homework here. I mean, there is a documentary, and I cannot believe Barry hasn't brought this up, but I do want us all to watch that Dolly Parton documentary.
Yeah,
how have you not brought this up yet?
I didn't know.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. Man.
You might be, look, it may be old. I don't know what it is, but it's on Netflix.
And her new Christmas album is great. And man, everything just feels like she's going to be at Bonnaroo in September, and I'm hoping and praying. Nope. How about Miley? Nope.
Oh, I mean, maybe, but I think that if you've made it this far, I think that you can probably in this podcast, I think you can probably start to fill in the bubble of the Foo Fighters. Everything is starting to move that way. And they have got a new album, and look, I haven't been a fan of the Foo Fighters for a long time. Dave Grohl is as good of a dude for radio people as you can ever imagine.
I think he's good for music.
Yeah. He's great for music too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But they've got a new album coming out, and it's good. It's really good. And I'm surprised that I'm saying that because it's just not my flavor. It's just not where I've been ever since, you know, that 2.5 Foo Fighters albums ago. But this one's really good. The new single is good. The next single is really, really good. So, yeah, I think that you probably should start thinking along those lines of how, you know, if the first one that comes off the board, who gets filled? And I think that you're exactly right, Barry. We've been saying it for months. My Morning Jacket's probably first because of their history with the festival, and Foo Fighters gets put up there too.
I don't disagree. I really want Miley, and I really want Dolly. So,
oh, you're getting dirty. This is getting dirty. This is really getting dirty. Which, by the way, do we
you
need
just
to see
pat
Miley
him on the head?
Do we need to see Miley Cyrus naked anymore? She's
no.
naked again on Rolling Stone. It just—I've never seen someone. I haven't seen my wife naked this many times. Like she's naked every time
naked.
I turn around.
I don't want to see her naked. I don't want to see her tongue ever again.
Ever again.
Ever. But I love her.
I mean,
I love her more every day.
Off, she shows off between her legs more than my dogs do. I mean, it is so.
And that's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot.
Constantly naked, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't either. I agree, but I like her more every day.
Yeah, I know. She's really fun. She's really fun. I know.
She's being who she is, and I love it. So anyway,
but the whole point of it is that, you know, she is decentralizing is that the word I'm looking for? Sensitizing. Yeah, that's what. Thank you. Us from seeing this, you know, it's not shocking anymore, right?
It's so putting the Miley, it's putting the Hannah Montana thing behind her, but she's done that and move on. So I've moved on.
She wants the female body to be as accepted and as able to be seen as the male body is shown up all the time. And
I don't want to see your crotch either. So,
well, a little too late, Barry. A little too late.
All right.
Bye.
Can I read the Patreon names real
yes,
quick?
Please.
Oh, yeah, sure. Boy, Taco is keeping us on point today, isn't he?
That's why he's who he is.
I know. I almost forgot how to do it because we haven't done a show in so long. And
done in a while, yeah.
We have a good group of people that have stuck with us through Patreon.
Absolutely. You guys are amazing.
And if not for COVID, I'd be tongue-kissing all of you. If not for COVID.
That's the only reason why.
That's the only reason.
Only reason. So let me read these names. We've got DJ Bryce Brinston, Kyle Boyle, Riley Benson, Madison Hadzeko, DK, Benjamin Wells, Tori, Daniel and Sharla Horton of the Rubus, Jacob Marty, Musical Antlers, Mary T, Andrew T. McBride, Justin Nigro, Sean McCain, David Solano, Brooke Tussey, Lauren Edholm, Nick Yeatman, Melanie and Jesse Feldman, Catherine Riccio, Timothy Proctor, Aaron Carlson, Evan Brown, Ross McNamara, William Richards, Meredith Rittman, Parker Reed from the Ruham guys, William Wilhoit, Sean McCarthy, Ryan Mathewson, Lisa Condor, David Grimes, Linda Doles, Ella, Chelsea Davis, Dan Sweeney, Phil Hanley, Chloe Hannon, and Jason Hazelbake. And I know it sounds like we read the same names every month or every show, but like these people have really like stuck with us.
And that's awesome. You're exactly right. Which, by the way, like you guys on the way to New Orleans? You know, you coming down? You guys on the way?
We light on.
Okay. I'm running out of power. I don't have any lights left.
Stay up.
That's my podcast. We'll talk to you next time. Love you. Bye.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay!
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.